Project 1015. It's Tuesday. Got John Horning in from Wild Earth Guardians. Hello, sir, and welcome.
Chris, good to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's always great to have you in because you always have so much to talk about. So let's get started.
Well, today it's all about the Wolf Den. Just this weekend, we unveiled on our website what we are calling the Wolf Den. And the Wolf Den is pretty much anything and everything you want to know about lobos in the Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Endangered wolves, right?
Unfortunately, very endangered. The lobos in the Southwest have lots of problems. Some of them are political and some of them are genetic. There were so few wolves in the first place that it's a real scientific quandary. But the biggest problem is we need political support and we need less opposition to wolf recovery.
I saw maybe in an email that you're naming the wolves. Like right now they have, you know, XP48 or something as their name.
You know,
a very scientific tag of
there is a long history of naming wolves. And we name wolves, we name things to give them meaning. We name our pets. We name one another. We name things that we care about. We don't care about A643. It just lacks character. And so
scientists, you know, might.
Even the people that hunted wolves to the edge of extinction 100 years ago named wolves. And they named wolves.
We're going to get old brown eyes this time.
You know, the three toes. Luna.
The great white wolf. Yar.
There were people name wolves. People name things out of respect. And so we feel like we want to name wolves. So we've started off a naming contest and you can participate in it right now. We're starting with the Middle Fork Pack. And the Middle Fork Pack is in the heart of the Gila Wilderness. And both the alpha male and the alpha female of the Middle Fork Pack only have three legs, one because of a shooting incident and the other because of a trapping incident. And both of them had injuries that led to the recovery wolf recovery team deciding to amputate their legs. But they're out there in the wild. And when I have any doubts about my resilience, I think about those Middle Fork Pack wolves. So we are going to give the alpha female and the alpha male of the Middle Fork Pack names, and we want you to help us.
Now the contest is going.
The contest is going at the site. You can participate. We've got a link there to a form that you fill out.
And a link through wildearthguardians.org.
Through wildearthguardians.org. Okay. On the very front page, the first thing you'll see there is Wolf Den.
Okay.
And so,
and that'll take you to the Twitter feed too. I understand.
Yeah, we've got the alpha male of the Middle Fork Pack has jumped in the 21st century long before I have.
And me.
And it's my understanding that the alpha male, as a part of this naming contest and even beyond that, has decided to tweet. I have no idea.
Awesome. With only three legs even.
I have no idea how he is tweeting. I think it's both a technological challenge, given the remoteness, but also given the language issues. So we're having fun with this.
What's his handle?
His handle on the Twitter universe is Lobo at Large.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I believe the Lobo at Large already has about 25 or 30 followers on his tweeting universe. And the whole goal here is that the Lobo at Large is going to let people know about what's going on down with wolf recovery in southwestern New Mexico and southeastern Arizona.
Rad.
You know,
I got to check it out. I really don't know thing one about tweeting or twittering or whatever you call it.
You know, I will have to check in with Lobo at Large to see.
I can barely send a text message.
You know, I just read actually that Woody Allen has never sent an email in his life. So hard to believe that a wolf from southwestern New Mexico would enter the 21st century long before a guy like Woody Allen.
That's pretty cool.
There you have it. We hope Woody Allen will pick up the feed.
How long do we have to come up with names
for alpha male and alpha female X? I think it's until about July 15. We want to give people about 3 to 4 weeks. Hopefully all of this will help hold our decision makers, whether they're elected folks or agency people with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Forest Service, hold them accountable to ensure that we put more wolves out on the ground and we protect the ones that are already there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Yeah. What else is on the list today?
Well, lots of stuff going on at the Guardians. We got too many balls in the air. It's part of our organizational strength and weakness. It's
busy time of year, I guess.
The yin and the yang of Guardians. Monday's Washington Post talked about a story about federal coal leasing in the Powder River Basin of Wyoming and Montana, where our nation gets about 50% of our coal supply. A huge problem in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. But here's the deal. A bunch of economists from the Northeast found, after looking at all the leasing policy, that the federal coal leasing in the Powder River Basin subsidizes Arch and Peabody Coal. John Prine sang a great tune about Peabody Coal, to the tune of $29 billion.
A year?
This has actually been over the last three decades, so it's a fair chunk of change.
That's a lot of my tax dollars.
You know, it's crazy, and actually most of this coal, they want to export it to China. So we're subsidizing China's growth and electricity boom from something that's contributing to the climate crisis. It makes absolutely no sense for U.S. taxpayers to be subsidizing cheap American coal to be exported to China. But
well, I'm of the opinion that there's a whole lot of nothing in Wyoming, generally speaking. I've been there. My stepdad was from there, and the thing is, when you've got a whole lot of nothing, why don't you just throw up a bunch of solar panels and wind turbines and stuff?
You know, there have been a bunch of studies about just that Wyoming's wind resources could supply this nation with, I'm not going to make up a number, but I've heard a very large number of our nation's energy demands. So
I have heard that, that at least in New Mexico, we're turning the corner. We're actually going to be able to, like any day now, generate more power with wind and solar than we can with the old-fashioned ways.
Well, the resources are there. The challenge and the Powder River Basin coal leasing story is a perfect example of this, is that we have incredibly powerful, deeply entrenched interests that don't want to see a shift from fossil fuels to clean energy supplies. And they're doing everything they can to prevent that transition from happening. We've got the resources to, especially throughout the West, in the Southwest in particular, to shift to wind and solar. But powerful forces don't want to see that shift happen.
They could just change tracks and go green.
Well,
car companies are doing it.
We all need to. Here's what I think we need to do. And this is a shift from the Powder River Basin to our own backyard. We need to take our PNM monthly bill and burn that bad boy. Burn it in protest of PNM being in the dark ages. So until that company wakes up and comes out of the dark ages and into the 21st century and is going to be an ally of shifting from fossil fuels to clean, renewable energy, I say burn that bill.
Wow.
I'm serious.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to hear that on the radio this morning.
Well, it's hot. Let's get it hotter.
He's getting riled up, everybody.
Until we figure out how to have the political will to shift. These public utilities are a huge obstacle to getting us on the clean, green energy path that we need to be on.
I think PNM just needs to make a phone call to Toyota and say, hey, how's the Prius doing? You know, now that you've switched over to something a little more green, how's that going for you? And they'd say, yeah, we're making a boatload of money.
We love Toyota. We love the Prius. We love Beaver Toyota. We want to work with Beaver Toyota on our Bring Back the Beaver campaign. But all that ain't enough. We need these utilities to be held accountable by all the decision makers out there.
And well, they've got a big meeting tomorrow about the whole pit rule deal.
Yep. So there's another important
another
issue.
Chance to do the right thing.
Yep.
All right. And you were saying You've got one more item today.
Yeah, you know.
The water issue.
The mighty, mighty Rio Grande. All these issues are linked, facing all sorts of threats, over demands, not enough water, climate change. And tomorrow's Santa Fe Reporter, I believe, I've gotten the inside word, will have a feature story about one of the latest threats to the Rio Grande, which is all about water transfers, where water from downstream agricultural areas is being transferred to upstream municipal areas. And the net effect of that is that the river is having less water in it and we're drying up farmland. And it's a policy that I think needs to be changed. And if you're intrigued and want to learn more, pick up the Santa Fe Reporter tomorrow and read all about it.
All right. And there's probably something at the website too, wildearthguardians.org.
There is.
I would imagine.
There is.
All right, John Horning. Thanks for coming in and keeping us up to date.
Thanks for having us, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Every Tuesday, Wild Earth Guardians on Project.